So hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to this edition of Soccer Hub Talks. My name is Ricardo Balbeira. I'm the CEO and founder of Soccer Hub. As already of you know, Soccer Hub, it's an online platform which delivers online courses for soccer scouts, soccer analysts, soccer performance analysts. So just visit us and get to know a bit more the kind of information that we offer. So as usual, we are here with one more edition of Soccer Hub Talks. The subject is developing the future's top athletes, and we are here with Paulo Cardoso. Before I present a bit more about Paulo Cardoso, I just want to tell you that this is a live event, so you will be able to ask questions to our speaker. Just write the questions on the chat box that I will gladly ask the question to Paulo. Okay, so don't forget, introduce your questions on the chat box. One more thing. Please introduce on the chat box some information about yourselves, such as the country that you are based in, and also some information about your job. If you are a scout, an analyst, a coach, well, please introduce that information on the chat box. That is something important so we can adapt a bit our conversation to your specific needs. So, as I said, we are here with Paulo Cardoso. Paulo Cardoso, it's a longtime friend. It's a pleasure for me to have Paulo here. He currently works as the Academy Director of CSKA Sofia in Bulgaria, at the same job at the Melbourne's Victory Academy in Australia, was also a technical consultant at the South Africa FA, and he works as a consultant also in clubs such as Safa Academy in South Africa, Fluminense in Brazil, Al Ahly Academy in Saudi Arabia, and also worked as a scouting manager and technical coordinator at Sporting here in Portugal. So it's incredible the curriculum that Paulo has. I'm sure it will be a lovely conversation. So we will start in a few seconds. See you in a bit. Hello, Paulo. Good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
Hello, Ricardo. Pleasure to be here.
Now, the pleasure, it's all mine, and I was saying in introduction, for me, it's a huge pleasure to have you and to have the opportunity to do this interview after long years. We were just talking that we met almost, I would say, 13 years ago. We are both younger than we are now, but still...
much younger.
Yeah, but still looking good, right, Paulo? Still looking good. that's the important thing.
Alive and kicking.
Yeah, that's it. So, Paulo, starting from the beginning, I know that you have a degree both in sports sciences and sports management. What were your first steps before achieving the position of technical coordinator of the Sporting Academy here in Portugal? Can you hear me, Paulo?
Okay, first of all, football passion person. Since a kid, I was passionate about football. I started playing football on youth. In the middle of my promising career, I had an injury. So I broke my leg twice on the same year. And I was on Sporting Lisbon at that time. And my parents and myself find out, okay, it's very difficult to go forward with a professional career. So I focus to be a professional coach. So I said, I want to be a professional coach. So I went to university after an experience I have in a smaller club, I was invited to start working Sporting Lisbon. I worked there 18 years. It was a fantastic experience where I learned a lot with a lot of people I work, like Aurelio Pereira, Jean-Paul, Pedro Milomis, Academy Director, Zé Manuel Turcato, football director. I learned a lot on that. And one day, I decided to leave Sporting and start my journey all over the world. Like you mentioned before, I had some experience in almost all the continents. Yes, South America, Africa, Asia, Oceania, and at this moment, I'm glad to be here in Sofia as CSK Academy Director, and that's it.
Okay, Paulo, thank you very much. So. Going back to your experience in Sporting, Explain me a little better, why was the Sporting Academy at that time one of the best in the world, and how was or was it possible to deliver so many talent players such as Figo, Nani, Ronaldo, and many others? What were you guys doing different at that time to deliver so many talents to the world, Paulo?
Okay, first of all, everything starts on players recruitment. And that was something really different. And that what that gave us the opportunity to work with some of the best talents of the country. When Mr. Aurelio Pereira start the recruitment department in 88, something like that, it was the first real recruitment department in Portugal. Slowly, what happened is Sporting had the ability to recruit some of the most talented players in Portugal. And that was the starting point. If you see the players' development, if you see this academy issues like a factory, the first thing you need to know is it's very important to have the best talent. And that's what came start. So we start there and we were very good on that. After that, and even before we had our new academy who was launched in 2002, we were already a club who had the capacity, the ability to recruit and to develop players like Futre, like Figo. What happened after with the launch of the new academy, with the leadership of Pedro Milomes as academy director, was an opportunity to step up, to create the new standards. And we get better, a lot better in place development, the infrastructure, the teams, the coaches. So everything go to the next level. And last but not the least is the connection. The last step is the connection with the first team. And okay, without that step, all the work we did before is useless. So what happened on that moment was a club strategy. Started with José Roquete as president, and after that, they realized we need to open the door of the first team to our youngsters, our best players, to put them on the showroom, give them a chance, and after that, sell them to the market, to the European market. It seems like three very important processes: starting players recruitment, after that, developing players is a very important process, and last but not the least is this connection, this players management, where we look at the players and their careers, progression to the first team, professional contracts. This is the final step of our work.
Great, Paulo. Thank you very much. Now, still about your experience as head of scouting in Sporting, we usually debate what kind of skills should a scout master. And my question is, how important is to know about coaching, coaching on the pitch to perform as a scout? Do you believe that is mandatory to be a coach before becoming a scout, or are two completely different things with no relation at all?
Not at all. My experience, especially in Sporting Lisbon, said to me, we had at that moment given idea, only in academy, I had 200 scouts. I had some coordinators working with them directly, and some of our best scouts, they were not coaches. Uh-huh. And I cannot say to be a very good scout, you need to be a very good coach. Okay, of course, you should have some background experience on football. That will help you a lot. Yeah. If you are a coach, even better. Sometimes, but the truth is, I had scouts like Pereira dos Santos, Arturo Garré, and so many of them. And I learned so many things with them, and they were very good identifying and selecting players. Sometimes, and I give you an example, I can tell you a story about the player probably now. Let me give you the name of the player after. Okay. One day, I was the technical coordinator of the under-13, okay, and the coach of the under-13, and Arturo Garré, one of our scouts, came to me and say, we have to make a decision about one player. And I said, okay, bring him into the training. So he bring the player to us. The player was very mature. It was a good play, but very mature. It was like a man comparing with the other ones.
Okay.
And to be honest, in the end of the training session, I was not convinced. I'm not saying he was not a good player, but I was to focus on their maturation, because 12 years old with already, you know, mustache, okay, already, it was a man already. And I was like a little bit suspicious about the future, not about the performance at that moment, but about the future.
Okay.
And I told him, I'm not sure, probably not. And he told me, and he said to me, look, believe me, I know this kid. I don't want to lose this kid. If you don't sign this kid today, he'll go to Benfica tomorrow, our rivals. And I said, okay, I trust you. Let's go. And the player is Ricardo Jgaio. Ricardo Jgaio plays in Braga, is a right back, national team, youth national teams, and very good player, professional player. So, you see, so what I can say to you is scouts has the capacity sometimes to make good decisions, and we need to use them in a proper way. And I cannot say you need to be a coach to be a great scout.
Okay, perfect, Paulo. Thank you. Nice answer. So how was the scouting process in Sporting back then? Can you explain a bit step by step how it worked, since you find a player till the moment that you recruit and sign the player? Can you explain step by step?
Exactly. Okay, so our recruitment process has three phases, okay? The first phase is what we call it like admin phase, organizational phase, is where we need to define the priorities. We need to define what are the targets. We need to define which matches should be done. We need to define the documents, the forms. So it's everything we do, with kind of competition. So it's everything you do before you go into the pitch. And that area usually is not sometimes the focus of some clubs, some scouting departments, and that, in my opinion, is a mistake. We should invest a lot of time to prepare things, to organize things. After that, what happens is we know you go to the pitch, and when you go to the pitch to evaluate the player, we have levels of decisions. So imagine this, a scout goes to see a match, and after that, he need to make a decision. Okay, is good enough to go to the next level or not? Or I need to look at him again. So the first step you need to do is, you need to decide is how good he is, of course, in my evaluation, and what is the level. And if he goes to the next level, what happens is he will report saying, okay, I found a good player, go to next level. What is the next level? The next level is, depending the structure, I'm talking about now Sporting structure, is a scout normally work directly with a coordinator of scouts in some area, okay, or some kind of source. And okay, that coordinator should evaluate him, should or trust in scout opinion, or himself should confirm the positive evaluation to the next level. So in the coordination, go and see a second time. Okay, so we already had two observations on the same player, if it's possible. And the coordinator will say, okay, I confirm, I go to the next level. What is the next level? We call it the academy selection. So is where myself, the coaches, we make the decision to the player to come in or not to come in. We make the final decision, the final evaluation. Could be 1 week, could be one day. So, but is the next level, is the next level. And we decided technically if he should be invited to come to the club, to the academy or not. Just one thing is, if a scout, and they need to have autonomy for that, if a scout see really something really, really special, he could step up to levels immediately and to come to us immediately. It's about any player has his own situation. Let me give you another example, what happened with a player. I will tell you the name after. So we played, Sporting played with a very, very we were that team under 16, and we play against under 17 of a zonal group in Lisbon, a team close to Sintra. Okay, and the coach are also scouts on their own matches. Okay, so one of the methods we use is each coach should take a look at the other team and see if you have some play interesting. So if you see someone special, you need to raise up. Okay, I saw one player, next level. But if the player is really, really, really special, if the coach immediately start, oh, I found one special player, he should two steps up and immediately start to, to do everything to recruit the player. So what happened on that day was the coach, Nuno Lourenço, saw a player. We had a scout there also. So and immediately we start moving on. When we start moving on and talk on that day, it was a Sunday, to talk with the player, we realized Benfica was already
talking
on the process. Okay. Our rivals again. It's the way it is, normal. So and so we were like, okay, that this will be difficult. So we talk with our director, Mr. Aurelio Pereira, and we tell him, look, this is a very, very, very special player. We cannot miss this player. And with his genial creativity and capacity, so what he did was, okay, no worries, I'll find out a solution. So he realized it was really difficult. So, okay, no problem. So he called Nani. Nani at the time was playing Manchester United. Manchester United. So he called Nani and said, Nani, I need your help. And Nani asked him, okay, mister, what you need? I'll do everything for you. Okay, I need you to call this player and to tell him to come to Sporting, not to Benfica. And Nani called William Carvalho. Okay. William Carvalho was this player, now he's in Betis Civil. So, national team player, European champion. So, and William, the end of the day, that Sunday, he decided in a meeting with us to come to Sporting and not to Benfica. So, what I'm saying is, we have these levels, these steps, okay, these levels, but sometimes you need to hurry up and go forward and do two steps in one or three levels in one day.
Yeah, scouting is also about quickness, you know. And nowadays we can see that more and more. Of course, here in Portugal, with the bigger clubs, they're always looking at the same players. So you have to be quick and you have to get the inventive, such you were with Aurelio Pereira, trying to find the best ways to convince the player to come to the team. So congratulations. So guys. Don't forget that this is a live event. It's not every day that you have the opportunity to ask a question to Paulo Cardoso, okay? So write your questions on the chat box, okay? But now we'll still continue. Well, Paulo, now leaving the scouting and going more into your current position as head of academy, everybody's talking now about the long-term players development plan, right? In your opinion, what should it include? What should be in that long-term players development plan? And what is your plan? Can you tell me a bit more about this,
yes,
Paulo?
Yes, of course. Okay. Again, we have the first areas and should be on the long-term players development, in my opinion, should be there, is the something related with the recruitment, is to define the profile of the player we want to recruit. That is, for us, it's very important and should be clear which are the criteria to select players. Okay, so in the criteria of younger ages are different than the criteria of older ages. If in younger ages we can do more analytic evaluation, like with some individual analytic factors like the technique, the capacity to make decisions, the physicality of the game, if he's fast, not fast, the personality of the player, the body structure of the player. So this is, we can evaluate the player in our model. We have five top criterias, okay, in younger ages. After certain ages, we're talking about, when you talk about players more close to the professional football, we go to a different approach where it's more based about the game moments. I don't care about how fast he is I cannot say I don't care. It's not so important. What I need to know, I give an example, a winger. What I need to define is what I need that winger do on the game. Because he could be very fast, but if he cannot dribble, if he cannot beat the opponent 1v1, is a little bit useless. So what we need to identify, what are the criteria for this selection process, okay? So this is part of the long-term players development. What should be also is, okay, should be clear for us what kind of player we want to develop, okay? And what kind, and what are the methods to achieve that? Okay, so I want a player who play in one structure, in one game model, in the street game model, or I want a player more universal, where okay. I can say this player understands how to play in more than one structure. You know how to play 4-3-3 with different types of midfield. He knows how to play in the 4-4-2. Even he knows to play in the 3 on the back. So this is what the club need to decide. And I can tell you only what is our long-term players development here is. We want to develop players universal. So okay. we want to play. So and we have a progression on that. On the systems, on the structure we use, on so and this will give us, in my opinion, the play will be more rich, will know more than if a play is only developed in one system, one structure, in one way to play. So it is a little bit more, I'll say to you, more general, or at least is more, I think, is more complete. Is our way, is what we think should be there. Other thing should be also on is the what we can call the training model. It's more about okay. the methodology, okay? So what is our methodology? What is our, what are the priorities of our methodology? This is something I think is important to have on that plan. What are the contents, also, of course, but more than that is, okay, what is the methodology until certain ages? So in CSK, we have two big blocks. One block is until under 13. Okay. So it's from our a younger team is under 7. So it's from under 7 to under 13 is one block. And the methodology we use there is completely different than the methodology from under 14 to under 19. Then the 14 to under 19, the methodology, if you go to a weekly, is much more related with professional level. I'm not saying it's with our professional team, but it's about, okay, what we'll do 2 days after the game or minus 4 days before the next game. So what you do every single day is more related, is more connected to a professional team, okay? And until the under 13 is nothing to do with that. So what they do every single day does not depend on the last match, does not depend on the next okay. match. Even the contexts are different. More based until the under 13 in game principles, okay? And a little bit in team organization. I don't call that game moments because at that age is more team organization, okay? When you go to older ages, and the 14 and the 19 is much more related with the game moments of the game. We have our contacts, we have our progressions, but every single week, and we work in a weekly plan, is something I cannot say is the best, I cannot say is perfect, I can say is what is achievable. Okay. In the level, how I say to you is, sometimes it's better to do something not perfect but achievable than have a plan and something fantastic yeah. but not achievable. So mm-hmm. we work more by in a weekly plan than the mesocycle plan, to be honest with you. But that was the best way with the coaches I have here, with the knowledge they have and how I work with them, was something I felt was achievable to work on that, not prioritizing only matches, but to have a program what should be done, but also work in the concept more connected with professional team environment.
Yeah, this is not a very easy question to answer in just 5 minutes, or you know, but I'm sure, and I will challenge you to put all of this information in an online course in the future so people can get into more detail about it. In the meanwhile, we have here a question from Danny Walker, still about that situation that you told about the call that Nani made to William. And Danny asks, how often do other players advise player to join a certain clubs? Is that something that you know that usually happens?
Look, of course, this is only in very, very, very special situations. I remember to do that with Simon because Simon was in Sporting. When he left to Barcelona, we did it. Sometimes that is something. Is like I cannot say the last chance, but it's something we cannot rely on that in a daily basis. But it's only an idea. What we did that in that time is something. We need to be creative. We need sometimes to think outside of the box. Because, and why we do this? The reason, I think what's important is for us, the most important thing is the players' recruitment. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the best players, I'm talking about the professional academy,
okay.
Everything depends on the raw material you have. Yep. If you don't have the right talent, it will be so much more difficult. It will be almost impossible to promote that. Players to the first team. So it's about the strategy of the academy, of the club, the academy. How important it is, the players' recruitment. And inside players' recruitment, how important it is to have these top players. I give an example. One of the we create some KPIs when we were there. We create some KPIs, and one of the KPIs we have in our recruitment department was okay. We have level A, so we need to identify level A, B, C players. So the top players were level A or A plus. So our when you have a goal to achieve 50% of the new level A players, top players we detect, okay, 50% of them should come to Sporting. And the other 50% we admit is normal to go to other clubs like Porto, Benfica, Braga, whatever. So because for us was clear, we need to have the best players. So the actions we do in this kind of creative actions are linked, are on the same page of this concept.
Okay, some more questions here now from Tiago Silva. Paulo, there are many talented players that perform very well in the youth academies, but struggles to perform in the first team as a professional player. In your opinion, how should the process be in order to make that transition smoother and more effective for the club and the player? Do you want to give some insights about that transition?
Okay, first of all, good question. So first of all, we need to understand this why. Even it's not easy to find the why. Is okay, why this player was a very promising player on academy level, okay, and after that, he didn't succeed so much on professional level. Okay, this is happening a lot. One of the reasons, and let's talk about the why first, and you talk about the transition after. One of the reasons is we need to be very careful about the maturation of the players, the biological age. Some players, they grow, they are boom, they grow earlier than other ones. So a player with 14, 15, 16 could be an adult almost already, and one player with 14, 15, 16 could be a baby. Let me give you an example. In Sporting Lisbon, at that time, what he did was every player on the transition from under 13 to under 14, we did a test, X-ray test, and we evaluate how mature, which is his biological age, not chronological age, not the passport age, but really the biological age. The first time we did it was in 2003. And at that moment, I was the coach of under 14, generation 89. and I had 30 players. And on those 30 players I had that moment, some of them, so the scale was until 16.5, imagine. And some of them, they are 16 years old biological age, and some of them, they were 10 years old biological age. So what I'm saying is, there are years of difference. So some of them, they are babies, some of them, they are men. One of the players from that team was Adrian Silva.
Okay.
Now he's in Sampdoria. He was the captain of my team, but I remember quite well. And after that, we repeat the evaluation after 1 year, because this is a very important tool. We cannot put on the same level players who are mature, not mature. And this is a big mistake. Let me give you another example. In 2001, 2002, I was in a tournament in the United States with our 86 generations. 86 generation is Miguel Veloso, Nani, João Moutinho. This is generation, uh-huh. Very good generation we had. And we were there in the tournament in the United States, in Connecticut, in Danbury, Connecticut. And one of the teams who was there was a team, Delco, Pennsylvania. And who was there? So the tournament was 85 tournament. We were 86. And Delco, Pennsylvania has a very, very good player, considered a top player, was Freddy Adu.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Freddy Adu was 87. Doesn't look like. He looked like much more mature. And that moment, he was a top star. Okay? We beat them 3-0, but it's not about the victory or whatever. So what I'm saying is, and after a few years, I saw him again in Canada, World Cup under 20. And he did a very, very good World Cup under 20 2007, in June 2007. But after that, he disappeared a little bit, came to Benfica. Okay. So what sometimes is, they are so mature. Some players, they are so strong, powerful, and they succeed. They have a lot of performance, a high performance in certain age. But you need to be careful is the potential and not the performance that time. And this is something we need to address immediately, okay? So, smoother. How can we do a good transition to the first team? Of course, with the B teams we have in Portugal, in other countries, is a good example, like Spain, is a good example how we can have a step-by-step transition. So what you need to offer to the player is a level of competition where he can succeed, but could be and should be challenging. Because if it's too easy, okay, imagine under 19, very good player. Playing under 19, probably 90% of the matches are not challenging enough. So probably he's ready to the next level. So if you have a system where we have teams in level, we can promote players to the next level, next level, next level. And he only should go to the next level when he has the capacity to succeed on the next level. And sometimes what happens is we put one player too soon on the first team. He's not ready. He's going there, doesn't succeed, go down, not motivated. So we need to be very careful. And when we invest in one player in the first team, for instance, should not be 10 minutes, should not be one match. It should be a process where he's starting training with the first team, okay? Sometimes, and after, he's starting training full-time there. But still, he could play step down on the B team. So it's a process, a smoother process is if you have steps, if you have levels, if you have a C team, a B team, an A team, in my opinion, is the best way to do that. And of course, each play should be challenged, not too much, but not too less. Is what don't succeed. So the success of the player on the first team, on the professional football, depending the success he does in every step of his pathway. He should succeed in every step. We should not burn stages. We can hurry up, but we should go step by step. He's ready, go there. He's succeeding, go there. He's good singing, and go up, and go up, and go up. That's usually the best process. Of course, how could we facilitate this process? Okay, of course, if you have good connections between the coaches, if you have a certain connection between the how we play, because if the first team plays in a complete different way than the other teams, it's more difficult. Yes, it is. So there are actions that could be done. How he's prepared for the insuccess sometimes. So there's a lot of things could be done in this process, but we should not hurry up. We should not. The big mistake is hurry up and try to do it very quick.
Okay, thank you. Well, another question here now from Bernardo Gonçalves. Is a very specific question. Given Bulgaria's pastel context, what difficulties does Paulo have in recruiting foreign players to the academy? Or is the focus solely and exclusively for national players? For example, one solution might be to follow the course of talented youngsters until they reach seniors, and in that case, try to recruit for the first team, like the example of Zé Gomes, who now, at the age of 21, signed for Chernomore.
What do you think about this? I know. Okay, so each country or each club is his own strategy. Okay, so here in CSK, in the academy, we don't have foreign players. Okay, so if you ask me if you should have, look, I don't think, to be honest with you, at this moment, I don't think we should have foreign players here in the academy. Okay, but we have a satellite club. Or imagine we have a B team. We don't have a B team, but we have a satellite club. With a satellite club or with a B team, what we could do is select very promising foreign players. Because if 17, 18, they are very promising, they have the level enough to play in our satellite club second league. So in that player could stay there 1-2 seasons, in after coming to the first team. And again, step by step, is we need to put the player in a place where he can succeed, and after, because we believe he could achieve high level, and after we promote it to the higher level. Bulgaria has talent players, and my concern, my challenge is not to bring players from outside, is to keep them here, because Bulgaria is a poor country. And the image of football here is not so good. Some problems. It's not like before. We'd have like Stoichkov and Balakov and this kind of Kostadinov. All of them, Berbatov, all of them coming from CSKA. My big challenge is trying to keep them and make them believe they are on the right place. CSKA is the right place to be, because all the kids here, they want to go to other countries. They want to go to Portugal, to Spain, to Italy, to Germany. It's a culture issue. So my biggest challenge is try to keep them here, make them believe they are in the right place. And to be honest with you, the top players, they should stay here. Why? Because of the question before about the transition to the first team.
Okay.
If you are a potential top player in Bulgaria with 15, 16, 17, and you are on the top club, it will be easier here to be promoted to the professional football.
Okay.
So if you, and when you go to a good club in another country, you'll be already in our first team, probably in our national team, and we'll go with a good contract. You don't go like anyone else, like knocking the door on trials. So because if a player goes from here to Italy, for instance, Italy is the environment is difficult, is the language. So it's a lot of, it changes life. It's very difficult for foreigners to succeed there. So if you are special, why not to stay here? Because you could go to the first team much more sooner and smoother process, and you'll have the comfort to stay in your country, in your family, and to be honest, in the club has the conditions, the infrastructure, the coaches. So to propose you and to challenge you enough to succeed. So in my in my evaluation, in my this is my opinion, of course, my evaluation is a top player if it's possible, and if he's in the football country, if he's in the top club on that country, he should stay there, go to the first team, be professional, solid professional, and after that, if you are good enough, someone will invite you to go with a good contract to professional football.
Okay, Paulo, thank you. Well, of course, this is my last question. Of course, we have to talk about COVID-19, the pandemic, okay. You know. How will it impact the development of the players that are already in process? I mean, how will it delay the entire development of the development process of the players? Do you find any strategy to cope with this problem, Paulo?
Okay. Bulgaria probably has a very, very particular situation, okay? I cannot complain about COVID, to be honest with you, in general. So what happened was, we had a lockdown like all Europe last year, okay? And we closed 3 months, like, but in June, we restart with one team in June, and in July, we restart with all the teams.
All the teams?
All the teams. And we never stop until now. We have some restrictions sometimes about attendance. Sometimes the league can stop a little bit. For instance, now I just received information, the younger ones, the zonal groups, the younger ones until the under 13, they will stop during 2 weeks now, okay? But the elite groups and the 15, 17, the 19, the zonal groups and the 14 and 16 keep going. So to be honest with you, I didn't feel too much the impact
that we're going to feel the difference, you know, between for instance Bulgaria and here Portugal, that we stopped for many, many months. Do you feel that we're going to notice this in the future?
Look, imagine, okay, I only can compare is, okay, even if it's not the same, how could impact if you are injured 6 months, 1 year?
Yeah,
so it's not exactly to be injured, but the truth is, when you have a serious injury and you are 6 months, 8 months, you cannot train, how that will impact on the future? Definitely will impact the near future. In the long term, I think we could come back, and I hopefully the negative effect is not so high. But we have a problem is there are a lot of kids who could stop playing football, for instance. Younger ages and go to another sport or whatever. So this could be something can happen, but here in Bulgaria, I didn't feel too much impact COVID.
Only time will tell. Well, yes. To finish, Paulo, what kinds? Usually, we have many people that would like to get into football in the future. You know. So what kind of advice would you like to deliver to those that are now starting their career in soccer as coaches, scouts, analysts, they can also achieve the success that you achieve? And Paulo, just to say this, I believe that the career that you have is like great, wonderful, you know. I'm very proud that you are a Portuguese also, such as me, because it's a wonderful career. What kind of advice do you have to those that want to enter this specific industry, Paulo?
Let me say, and I think I already mentioned that, is how I start. And how I start, I think, was important. Because one day, and I was in high school, year 10, year 11, I realized, okay, I cannot be a football player, professional football player. And in my mind, I only had one goal. One day, I will be a professional coach. And that was something was all the time present, and it's possible.
Yeah, right.
You need to have that desire, and you need to invest, you need to work hard, and you need to give the best of you every single day. Believe on you, invest on you, believe it's possible, and be humble to learn. Learn, because I'm much better than I was 10 years ago, Ricardo. I'm completely much better than 20 years ago. Even in 5 years, I'm much better. I am much better. Mm-hmm. And If I think I have one quality, is the capacity to learn. Not only believing, but to learn and listen and listen and think and think, how can I do better? And every single day, do your best.
Yes, Paul. Well, you know, I've been interviewing many coaches and analysts and scouts, you know, my many top level professionals, and they always say that what distinguishes an average professional from a top professional is the ability and the focus that they have in learning more. They always feel that, okay, I know this, but I have to learn more and more and more. And that's true, and that's why Soccer Hub exists also. So, Paul, thank you very much for your time. Okay,
it was
a lovely conversation. We had here more questions to ask. Unfortunately, it's not possible. Okay, I would like to thank everyone that was attending this event. Once again, delivering my hug to Paulo there in Bulgaria, and I hope that we can meet soon. And also, as the challenge that I gave to you a few minutes before, to have some more content with you in our platform in Soccer Hub. Okay, Paul. Thank you very much for your contribution.
It was a pleasure. At your disposal, anytime. Anytime you need, I'm here.
Thank you, Paulo. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Ciao.